people. What a great reading from the scripture, isn't it, eh? That reading was read to me 16 years ago when I trained to be a street pastor. And I always remember the words of Jesus, "Go and do thou likewise." Doesn't mean go out on the streets looking for people who are injured or whatever. It just means look after those around you. Take care of those around you. Now, street pastors is all about that. And I've been doing street pastors for about 16 years. And you'll find out later on when we look at the history of street pastors that it's been going on since 2003 in this country. It began in Brixton in London. So that's, what, nearly 20 years now, isn't it? 20 years next year. So it's been going on in Weston for about 17 years, since 2006. But I've been a street pastor for about 16 years. And it's only recently that because of my knee, I've got a bit of arthritis in my right knee, that I haven't been able to walk. But, praise the Lord, I'm able to pray. And the video will show you in a moment a group of people who do just that every Saturday night. They meet together in a base and they pray. They pray for the team as they walk out onto the streets. And they pray, they're kept in touch by radio and phone, and they pray for specific incidents that actually happen. And over those 16 years, I've seen many miracles happening on the streets of Weston. Absolutely wonderful. With the sun shining in your eyes, I'm so sorry, guys, but I'm going to ask our lovely audio visual folk if you will play the video. This one was videoed on the streets of Weston-super-Mare back in 2014, I think it was, so about 6 or 7 years ago. But it's still very relevant today as it was then. So if we could just turn the sound up nice and loud, because it's at night time, filled at night time, and I hope it'll give you a rough idea of what it's like on the streets of Weston-super-Mare. Thank you very much, guys.
My vision for street pastors is that every city, every community, village, will have a group caring, listening, and helping. I'd like to see street pastors on every street who are willing to help people without prejudice. It's about recognizing the vulnerability, and I want to help my fellow human being.
It's interesting when we meet people in the middle of the night who are just so drunk, and you wonder why they've done what they're doing or why they're in that situation, and I feel terribly sad for them. I think that they often maybe don't have much hope in life, maybe they don't have a job, maybe they don't have a home life. It prompts me to pray for them.
And I think what we need to do as Christians, especially in this town and this nation, and maybe all over the world, is start getting outside where the need is.
Hello, darling. How are you? Welcome to Weston, sweetheart. I hope you enjoy your evening.
Yeah, you too.
God bless you.
Yeah, I got involved because I knew David Evans, who started Street Pastors with Dave Holtby. He was getting it all started in 2006.
Part of my role was to police the town centre, the nightclub area. And it was very apparent to me at 3 o'clock in the morning that I was the only uniform presence on the street. And it was a chance encounter that I had with Captain Dave Evans, where I made a challenge to him about what were the church going to be doing. Les Isaacs was speaking in charge, and we went to hear him speak as to what the scheme involved. And it was from that meeting and that discussion with him that we both felt that street pastors was a way forward for Weston.
God prompted me, and I just had got to do that.
We took a trip one night to Southend, because that was the nearest seaside town at the time that were running a street pastor scheme, to see what it did. We came back and held an open evening in one of the local churches to inform people of what the issues were in the town centre. Most people don't have any real knowledge of what goes on, because they see the town centre at 2 o'clock in the afternoon and think that's what happens. But it's a very different culture at 2 in the morning. And it was to try and convey to people that there is a need, that there is a work to be done there, and to let them know what that work was.
I've got such a passion for young people, and I just knew I had to go out. Trained the following year and was out on the streets in 2007.
Well, they've got that one upstairs, but this bit's closed, isn't it?
When we meet people in the streets, they are absolutely amazed, and they're always shouting out to us, "Oh, street pastors, we love you." And then the people who don't know us find out from their friends who we are, and they'll often say to us, "So why do you do this?" And we say, "Well, you know, we just do it because we want to come out and help on the streets." They say, "Do you get paid?" And we go, "No, go and get paid." And we're out to four, same as you. And they're just staggered.
There's people in need. Sometimes they have too much to drink. Thankfully, I'm not one of them tonight. But they're looking after the people that need that little bit of help. So they supply them with either sandals to get home with safely, or they look after them and put them in a taxi, which I think is a great idea. It's very honourable of the people who do it.
No, I think it's really, really kind. I love it that you do it for the benefit of other people, really.
We get a really good response from the people on the streets. It's fantastic.
It's good because it helps us out with people who've had too much to drink. And we can hand people over to them, but we get on with the troublemakers and making sure that everybody else is safe. Most times you don't need an ambulance. You know, it's just the street pastors can deal with it. And then if an ambulance is needed, then we can call the ambulance service out.
My current role as a custody sergeant, very often we detain people that could have been avoided. Very often what we get is the fallout from an incident, but the street pastors can go into a situation like that and calm it down. There is no agenda attached to them. They go there to love people rather than to detain them or prevent offences.
It really works well for us, and it's quite a good partnership because it frees us up to actually deal with things that more are part of the job in sort of violent crime and victims of assault. And you take an awful lot of these sort of softer side of policing off our hands. So perhaps people who've lost their phones or purses, wallets, handbags. Your flip-flops are now legendary amongst the ladies of Weston in particular. By sort of 2:30, 3 o'clock, there are a number of people who are distinctly the worst for wear for drink, and ambulances are always at a real premium at that time of the day, and so you do provide a sort of a real good stopgap there for sort of helping those people out, sometimes getting them home. I've no idea how you do it, but we really appreciate it. It's great.
We had a patrol of street pastors wandering down the promenade here. It was a nice calm evening, a little bit breezy, tide was coming in. One of the eagle-eyed lady street pastors spotted a white shirt, and that white shirt would belong to a young man who was walking towards the sea. He started going into the sea. We thought he was just going for a paddle, but in fact, he was wading into the sea. The tide was coming in. The tide was coming up to his waist. We thought there's something dodgy going on here. So the two lady street pastors contacted the police, while the two men street pastors went down onto the tide line and shouted to this young man, "Come back, it's dangerous, come back, you're gonna get in trouble." He carried on. At that point, the sand underneath the waves becomes very squelchy, and I can imagine he was getting really bogged down, literally bogged down. The tide was coming up to his chest. We could then not see his shirt. We could just see his head. It was bobbing up and down underneath the tide. The police were called. They came down to assist us and shout at this young man, but he took no notice. They turned a floodlight on the Grand Pier to try and pick out him. It was dark, remember, just lit by the street lamps, but the floodlight couldn't pick him out. They managed to scramble a helicopter from RS Chivner from North Devon to come across and shine their floodlight down onto the sea. They managed to pick out the young man. His head was bobbing up and down. The police, meanwhile, got a dinghy, one of their rescue dinghies, around the headland, and they came across searching up and down. He had disappeared under the sea. They couldn't find him, but every now and again, they said that his head bobbed up. They were able to grab hold of him and drag him onto the dinghy. By that time, an ambulance had gone down the slip road down to the sea, and he was brought in, taken into the ambulance, taken off to hospital, where he made a good recovery.
There was one incident when we first started that the street passers were out on the streets, met a couple of soldiers that were going off to Afghanistan the next day, and they asked if they could be prayed for, and we said yes. And 6 months later, on Points West, there was a story about a soldier come back from Afghanistan who'd trodden on a mine and had survived. And one of our trustees thought this must be too much of a coincidence, so he contacted him and found it was the same man. And he had actually stepped right on a mine and had survived it. And he's come back so full of it, he just speaks of nothing else, of how the Lord just saved him. So it was a wonderful story and a wonderful answer to prayer.
We opened the cafe on a Saturday night from 9:30 to around about 1 in the morning. Somewhere that operates as a safe hub for the police to operate with the street pastors, somewhere for people to think about what's going on in Weston-super-Mare, to have somewhere to pray, somewhere safe to come back to and to operate from. For youngsters out and about, a safe place to get a taxi from. There's a place for people to come and get coffee, to come and get a soft drink, out of hours really.
Normally we meet here in the Lighthouse Cafe with the room at the back. We call it our prayer base. One person who's in charge of prayer for the evening, about half hour or 15 minutes or so before we actually go out on the streets, and they basically brief us on the kind of things to pray for, and then we pray about it and we commend ourselves to the Lord and we say, look Lord, lead us to where you want us to go, and help us to say what you want us to say.
As we see a situation that's not going well, maybe a couple of people are having an argument and it's looking to become a bit violent, then we'll step back and we'll pray. We'll phone in a request to prayer base here. We'll ask them to pray about this, and quite often it just disperses, which is incredible. We know God's at work there.
God always answers prayers with street passers. As we pray, he will answer, and it's just remarkable.
The Christian heart is compassion, and so Jesus showed compassion to many, many different people that he met, and that's what we're trying to do on the streets.
If Jesus were here in Weston-super-Mare, this is where he would be, on the streets of our town.
We hope, pray, that that compassionate heart comes over in our caring, listening, helping people on the streets.
He was found on the streets of Jerusalem, the streets of Galilee, and I honestly believe that if you've got a heart of Jesus, that's where you need to be.
We do a lot of praying, and God answers.
Thank you. Yeah. It can be quite a challenge sometimes, and we need prayer. So if there's anything you can do, you can pray. And it'd be lovely to know that the folk in Rington Chapel are praying for us on a Saturday night. There's about half a dozen dear old folk who meet on a Wednesday at Emmanuel Church in Weston, and they have prayer time every Wednesday. But a number of them actually have difficulty sleeping. And so we call them the insomniacs. They find difficult sleeping. So they stay awake all through Saturday night. And we can contact them by phone. And it's lovely. Hello, is that Pam? Yes, this is Pam. Oh, we'd love you to pray for a particular incident. We've just had a man hit his girlfriend. And the girlfriend had her little child with her. And it's just caused a real problem. Would you pray? And, I'll pray. About 10 minutes later, the man came back. And he was full of remorse for what he'd done. And it was just an answer to prayer. So yeah, we have people who pray for us on a Saturday night, and we have a prayer group, a prayer base, of whom I'm a member at the moment because I'm not able to walk. But what I'd like to do is take you through, at the moment now, a PowerPoint presentation, and it will show you where Street Pastors began and where we're going to and how we're funded and things like that. So if we could just have the next slide, please, that'd be great. I was hoping to have a remote where I could click for the next slide, but I'm going to have to communicate with the audio visual at the back there. So I hope you can see that. A verse we love to keep in mind is Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18. And to paraphrase, it's simply, where there is no vision, the people perish. And we can put that into practice on the streets of our town. People are wandering around just hedonistically celebrating and having a good time, getting drunk and so on, and just out just to enjoy themselves. They have no vision, and they often perish if we can't get involved. Next slide, please. These are the two vision bearers for Western Street Mayor, Dave Holtby and Dave Evans. As Dave, you saw on the video, Dave is a police sergeant, custody police sergeant, and I think he's retired now, but in the 2006, he and this other Dave, who's a captain in the church army, he's also retired now, but what a legacy to give to Weston. They thought, as Dave said on the video, there's nothing out on the streets for people who are in trouble. There's no Christian presence out on the streets. What can we do? They'd heard about something going on in Southend-on-Sea, went over there, saw what they were doing, and it was Street Pastors. So these two guys got together with a number of church people and met and decided that Street Pastors was the way forward. Next slide, please. So, on October the 28th, back in 2006, the Street Pastors' first commissioning service. This was held in Emmanuel Church. Some of you might recognize it, but there was a nice crowd there. And the next slide, please. God's Sword hits the streets to help the vulnerable. That was in the Western Mercury. I don't know if you get the Western Mercury here in Rington, but that was a nice write-up. A new force of volunteers who help late night revelers in peril has received fantastic response from the public, according to the police. And the police just welcome us. You know that COVID hit us 2 years ago, March 2020. We were told by the government not to patrol the streets anymore. And that carried on for 2 years. It wasn't until April this year, 2022, when we started going back on the streets. And the police at that time just wrapped their arms around us and said, oh, how good it is to see you. Thank you, Street Pastors, for coming back on the streets. We hadn't been out on the streets, mainly because the government wouldn't let us. And a lot of people were nervous about going out on the streets because mixing with clubbers and so on and close contact, catching COVID, etc., etc. You can understand their concerns. Anyway, the police welcome us with open arms. So do the street wardens. So do the door staff. And it's such a great teamwork. Next slide, please. The Bishop of Bath and Wells, back in 2006, he came to Mount Manuel Church for our commissioning service, and he said this, and I will read it to you. You can read it as well to yourself. Today we are commissioning our street pastors, men and women prepared to step outside of the comfort zone in order to enter public life by seeking the common good, what Jeremiah calls the welfare of the city. He said this, learn this lament. And this is what Jeremiah says again. Death has come through the windows of society to cut off children and young people on their streets. Paraphrase version. But that's what the Bishop of Bath and Wells actually said on that day. And this is what we do. We get out there and try to help these young people. And sometimes children, can you believe it? 2 o'clock in the morning, little children wandering around on their bikes. Can you believe that? Where are their parents? It's incredible, isn't it? Next slide, please. This is the vision of Street Pastors. We have a vision. Praise God we have a vision. So the people won't perish. The vision is to mobilize the church, activate the church, get the church outside of the building outside where the need is, to walk our streets together, demonstrate love without preaching. We don't preach. We let our lives speak. We let actions speak louder than words. We care physically where people are. We listen without prejudice. We don't judge. And we help without reservation throughout the community. Next slide, please. As I said, Street Pastors was launched back in 2003 at Brixton Baptist Church on the streets of Lambeth and Hackney in April 2003. Initially, there were just 18 street pastors in that area of London. Now we have thousands, literally thousands of Christians nationwide serving God on the streets of our towns and cities as trained street pastors. Yes, we have to be trained. We are trained because we've got to know what we're doing. And also, we are insured. Every street pastor is insured by a company called Ascension Trust, and they employ lawyers, I can't remember what they're called, to the tune of £5 million. Every street pastor is insured to the tune of £5 million. And they make conditions, obviously, so we have to be trained. And if I have my phone, I can tell you briefly what we get trained in. We get trained, if I can just look it up a moment. Okay. We get trained in what we call roles and responsibilities. What are our responsibilities out on the streets? What is our role on the streets? Our role is not to preach at people. Our responsibility is to take care, listen, and help people. We have a training program called Youth Culture. I'm 70 now, in my 70s. I know I don't look it, but I am. But how do I understand what the youth of today are doing? How do I understand why they behave like they do? How do I understand what it is that makes them tick? I've got to learn about the youth culture. I've got to learn about things that young people are doing nowadays, why they do it, how they do it. Why is it they take drugs? What is it that's going on? Why do they drink themselves silly on a Saturday night? We have to learn about youth culture. In order to help them, we need to get down to their level, okay? We don't hover over them and judge them. Youth culture. We have to know about drugs and alcohol. Drugs and alcohol awareness. Safeguarding of children and adults. That little nipper who was with his mum when partner came along and slapped her across the face. How do we take care of him? What is going through his mind? He sees his daddy hit his mum and he was crying. And the dad came back and wrapped his arms around him. That was a nice ending, but it doesn't always end that way. So we actually have to do a safeguarding policy. We have to do a safeguarding course and we have to sign, we get a certificate online, safeguarding of children and adults. Knowing your community. Our community in Weston is not the same as the community in Brixton in London or in Birmingham. We have to know our community, know where the hot spots are, know where the problem spots are, know where the troublemakers go. Recognize a drug dealer. There was one drug dealer I recognized in the film. I don't know if you saw him. An Asian, Chinese, Japanese looking man who was walking between two girls. And when I saw that, I recognized him. He is a known drug dealer. And you have to keep an eye on them. And you have to let the police know that he's out and about if they don't know already. So we have to be aware of what's going on. And we also have to have training in the good news. The good news, what do we believe? We believe that Jesus is the solution to all mankind's problems, all womankind's problems, all human problems. Jesus is the solution. How can we tell people about Jesus if we don't know what we're talking about? And we have to have police training as well. The police will train us what we can do, what are our responsibilities. If something happens where it's outside our remit, we contact the police. And then last but not least, we have first aid training. So we need to know what we can do if somebody is bleeding profusely, somebody is swallowing, choking on their vomit or whatever. So all these things we need training in. Next slide, please. Thank you. Pastor Les Isaacs, back in 2003. This is incredible. I always remember this, what he actually said. Read it carefully and take it on board. He said, if our Jesus, our theology is mainly for 10:30 and 6:30 on a Sunday, then I say our understanding is suspect. We must meet people where they are. And when I became a street pastor, I took that on board and I keep it in my heart. And I know that where I need to be is outside where the need is. And I appreciate that not all of us can do that. We can't all do that. We all of us have infirmities and illnesses and we're old age and so on. We can't all get out on the streets where the need is, but we can where we are, in our neighborhood, in our community, in our village, in our town. So that's what Les was referring to. We need to meet people where they are. Next slide, please. He said this, street pastoring is of a different nature and on a different level from anything else someone may do in their local church already. The volunteer street pastors and the vital support team may well find that they face enormous challenges. And we do. And that's why we're covered. We're not just covered by insurance, but we're covered by the blood of Jesus. We're covered in prayer. The blood of Jesus takes care of us. We go out on the streets covered in prayer. People are praying for us. We take Jesus out on the streets with us. We don't go out alone. In fact, I know of no street pastor region that will walk on the streets without prayer. If there's no prayer team in base on a Saturday night, we will wait for them to arrive. We will not go out unless we're covered in prayer. Next slide, please. Les Isaacs again. I don't apologize for keep quoting him because he's a very, very wise man, a God-given man. There are those who say we have lost our young men and the only thing we can do is lock them up. But for Christians, there has always got to be hope. And we take that out on the streets as well. We meet all sorts of people, all sorts, idiots, morons, totally drunk people, people who couldn't care less about others, just don't give a damn. But we meet them and we give them hope and we take hope out with us. That's a wonderful word, hope, isn't it? Hope, just four letters, but it means such a lot. Next slide, please. How are street pastors appointed? Okay, very quickly. Must be Christians with reference from their church, obvious. Supported by local churches, 50 hours of training. That's the training I just referred to. And totally committed. Totally committed to the work of street pastors. And we try, when we interview incoming street pastors and watch them as they train and listen to them as they talk to us, we try to appoint God-given people, God-chosen people to be street pastors. Any old Tom, Dick and Harry won't do. A totally committed person needs to be a street pastor. Thank you. How are we funded? We're supported by charitable giving. We once got a town council grant because the mayor, a few years ago, was sympathetic to what we did, so he gave us a grant, which was lovely. Individual giving, church donations. I'd like to, at this point, thank you very much. You as a church have donated something towards Western Street Pastors. Thank you for that. Next slide, please. This is what Pam tried on. 6 hours of night on the edge of the Bristol Channel in all weathers requires the street pastor to have some decent kit to cope with the rain and the Atlantic chill. And that's what Pam wore. We wear thermal underwear as well, so it keeps us warm. Next slide, please. This is our YMCA. We're now in the YMCA. We've moved to the YMCA. We take over the cafe area. And the YMCA prayer base, we call it. These are the guys here who we will not do without. The ones on the top left up there. And the police station, CCTV, friendly club doorman. Doorman will always welcome the street passers. Never come across a negative doorman. Oh, what do you come out for? Well, preach to them, I suppose. You know, nothing like that. Oh, so good to see you guys. And it's so good to work in an environment like that, isn't it? It so encourages you. And we have Nightnet Radio. We pay for Nightnet Radio. We're connected to the door staff. We're connected to the police. We can call the police. We can call the ambulances anytime needed. Help, we need the police here. CCTV, can you zoom in on the high street, please? Because somebody is doing something they shouldn't. We need identification. Ambulances, police, and so on. Next slide, please. CCTV room in Weston Town Hall. Ever been in there? You want to try and go in there. Incredible. I'll tell you a funny story. They have a camera in the Wirral High Street in Weston, where I live. Okay, I live in Wirral. And as it swivels, I picked out my house, right? So I said to the lady, I said, see that camera there? Can you zoom in on that house? And it's number 4 Ebden Road. That's where I live. And I came to my front door, okay? And I saw the number 4, nice white front door. And then I said, can you zoom in a bit more? I said, and she did, and she zoomed in. And she zoomed in on the lounge window. The curtains were drawn, so I couldn't see inside. So I said, go up a bit, go on. And so he zoomed up, our bedroom window, the curtains weren't drawn. I said, stop! I don't want to see in there. But whatever time it was of a day. But the point is, they've got cameras that can zoom in. Do you know cameras nowadays can zoom in from space and can read a newspaper? Isn't that incredible? And we have that facility. We have CCTV. So we're in contact with them too. We have a lot of people helping us. Next slide, please. Between the hours of 10 p.m. and 4 a.m., we're only insured between 10 p.m. and 4 a.m. Somebody said, why don't you stay it longer? We contacted Ascension Trust. They can't cover us after 4 a.m. Or if they do, it'll cost us extra money. So they insure us for those 6 hours. Between those hours, as many as 4,000 people can emerge on the streets of Weston from the town's numerous pubs and clubs. Some pubs and clubs, well, clubs, not pubs, pubs close about midnight. Some of the clubs stay open till 5 in the morning. Why? Money, you know, they get more money. People buy more drinks. And these people, dosed up to the eyeballs with drink, come out onto the streets. Oh, that was great, wasn't it? Oh, what a great time. And they're singing away, you know. And we try to look after them, guide them to where they're going, to the taxi rank and so on. And you can see there some of the photos we've taken of some of the people that we've seen out on the streets. Next slide, please. Those are some of the bars and nightclubs. Weston has scores of clubs, literally scores of clubs, and pubs to choose from, with a wide catchment area for the nighttime clientele. People come from Somerset, Wales, Midlands, South Coast, even London. They come down to Weston for a hen do or stag do, stag night, you know? So they come from all over. Next slide, please. Young people are by far the friendliest. You saw in the video, those guys with sunglasses on. They were out for a stag do. They were so friendly. And most of them are lovely. This group asked to have their photos taken with the street passers. Next slide, please. The street passers collect a lot of bottles and abandoned glasses during the night. These are binned or returned to the clubs and pubs to prevent them from being used as weapons. Sometimes 40 bottles is not an unusual winter night's collection, but many more are around in the summer, and we pick up syringes and those little canisters of nitrous oxide gas, you know, that the young people have breathed in, and their voice goes all high, but it gives them a couple of minutes high. Why do they do it? Next slide, please. And there, with broken glass is a constant hazard. Why do we give out flip-flops? Broken glass? Bare feet? They don't mix. But if you're wearing flip-flops, ladies, have you ever tried going a whole night with stiletto heels on? How do you do it? Walking around like this. Oh, my word. And they take their stiletto heels off and they're walking the streets barefooted. Barefooted. Broken glass there, love. Yeah, careful. Have a pair of flip-flops. Oh, thank you so much. And we sweep up the glass. Next slide, please. We carry a rucksack. There we are. Thank you. It's gone on. But we carry rucksacks, okay? And in the rucksacks we have, this I haven't mentioned, we have thermoses of hot coffee, hot chocolate and tea. Why? homeless people. Homeless people in Weston. Ever since COVID, there's not been many, but before COVID, there are literally scores of homeless people on the streets, sleeping in doorways. We don't just look after people at the clubs and pubs, we look after homeless people as well. We give them a hot drink and a biscuit and a kind word. Sometimes we pray for them. And so we carry these in our backpacks. We carry rucksack with thermal blankets, flip-flops, rubber gloves. Barefoot recipients are very grateful as they make their way home through glass fragments. Next slide, please. 3:30 in the morning. What were you guys doing at 3:30 this morning? I bet he was snoring away. Isn't that right, Alison? Don't know. 3:30 in the morning. I'm not bragging, but you know, we were out 3:30 in the morning and we see a brawl, an arrest, a prayer request. Next slide, please. We find blood on the pavement. Nearby is a blood-stained young man being cared for by friends in a doorway. On the Nightnet radio, we ask CCTV to cover us. We provide rubber gloves to use staunching of blood flow in case of infection, AIDS, COVID, whatever. Next slide, please. Taxi ranks are sometimes the trouble spots as angry people try to jump the queue for getting a taxi home. 4:30 in the morning. I just mentioned 4 o'clock, but 4:30 in the morning, the last stragglers try to find a taxi to get home. That's when the trouble kicks off. Next slide, please. Interested in being involved? How can you be involved? Be part of the prayer ministry. Tell others about our work. Thank you.